Yo, welcome to the Praise the Game podcast, y'all.
Hey!
Yo, we got our E3 coverage. Wow, it's your source really for news, trends, and events in the gaming industry.
I blew out that mic real quick.
Yeah, it's a lot of fuck.
E3!
Yeah, dude, yeah, E3. Okay. It started. This is like the most wonderful time of the year for gaming
it's
people.
Christmas.
Well, I mean, it used to be. It's a little different now, but yeah.
Teraflops.
Teraflops. You got your teraflops and your teraflops.
All right, let's be real. First of all, we're all a little bit tired. It's been a long weekend. We're watching it. We're recording late today because we wanted to wait for Microsoft to finish their conference at E3. So we're doing this a little bit different than usual. It's a first for us. So yes. What we're doing for E3 is we just watched Microsoft's conference with the Xbox One X reveal. That's right. It's called X now,
it's
not Scorpio.
Xbox One X.
And, I'm still going to call it the Scorpio.
Yeah. So with their new teraflop console, they've gave details about that. So what we want to do this week is individually cover each major console's press conference.
We'll have coverage throughout
the
week.
So today we're doing a regular episode. We're doing the news. We're doing everything else. But then the topic of the day is going to be E3 2017 Microsoft overview of their conference. And then throughout the week, Wednesday, after Sony does theirs on Tuesday night, and then Thursday after Nintendo's, we're going to do like pop-up episodes. So they're not going to be the full news-ridden episodes and like a whole bunch of, we're not going to talk about what's loaded up. We're just going to go strictly our reactions right after the conference talking about what we thought about it.
Yep.
But like I said, today's going to be a full episode. We just got
there
a bunch of news.
Yeah, there were other things other than Microsoft that happened this weekend. But the biggest thing which just happened was the Xbox One X.
Right.
X.
So, yeah, we're going to go through the podcast like usual, and then if you go on our website, you're going to see new carts. You're going to see little mini Ralph episodes that are going to – they're not going to be fully episodes. They're not going to be numbered episodes. They're going to be like, oh, Xbox E3 conference or, Sony E3, and then we'll have – today's full-on episode, and then next weekend when we record, we're going to do the entire overview and our reactions to all of the E3 news that we've heard, including all the other devs and stuff like that. Yep. But yeah, why don't we start off with a little bit of gaming news.
The news.
All right, so I was going to say it. Should I say it? As far as release dates go, we've got the major title coming out next week on June 16th is ARMS.
ARMS.
The Nintendo exclusive game that's coming out for the Nintendo Switch, which we got to demo, or at least I did, at PAX East.
Yes.
And I got to do a little bit of the crappy test punch thing because that happens every, the timing was horrible on it. It was like 5 p.m., on the 29th for 10 minutes, and if you don't sign in at 5, you can't play. So I played for a little bit, and then it kicked me off. So, I was initially sold on this game when we were at PAX, but I don't know anymore.
Your interest, why? Yeah. Why is your interest faded?
Ramen Girl, dude.
Ramen Girl. Or what's the other one?
Twintel.
Twintel,
Twintel.
Actually, apparently she was playable in the second test punch.
Oh, really?
Like the second round of it. Yeah, but I missed it. I don't know. I don't think it's for me. It's reviewing well. I just I don't know. I don't know what situation I'm going to play this game. The Switch. I'm on the train always playing the Switch or commuting or like we're playing NBA at home. I'm never going to want to pick it up and start punching the air. I appreciate what it's doing, but I don't think this is going to be a day one for me. Maybe if it goes on.
Yeah,
sale.
I'm more excited for Splatoon 2.
Right.
I think. But yeah, I mean, it's usually not a busy week as far as release dates go for just because of E3. And ARMS is pretty much the singular important one for this week.
Right.
Yep.
That's the main release date from the week. And then for the news, we got a couple things before we get to Microsoft. So Switch got Pokken Tournament. That was announced earlier this week. And that's kind of big news. Pokken Tournament was popular, fighting game style Pokemon game that was available on the Wii U. I don't actually even know what this game looks like. I heard it's fun. I just don't know much about it.
I've seen a little bit.
I'm sure it's pretty cool, and people have mixed reactions about it on the internet. I don't know if you guys have seen, but my hopes and dreams for a true Pokemon game on the Switch are gone. I'm not going to get Pokemon. And then there's they announced Sun and Moon X or whatever the hell the name is. Extreme New Version 3.0.
Wait, what? What was this?
I don't know. They announced a sequel to the latest
one. Oh, did they? I thought they were saying they were going to release silver again or something?
No, they're doing silver and gold re-release.
Well, they're doing that, but they also announced the like extra version, the new versions of whatever the hell
it
was.
Are you sure that's coming to Switch?
No, it's on 3DS. Oh, yeah, 3DS. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's 3DS.
Yeah, they're not going to put a straight-up Pokemon game like that on the Switch.
Not yet. And their hopes are still high for an open-world, like, Zelda-style Pokemon game, because that's what people just wanted forever, you know? Yeah. I mean, I guess Pokemon is open-world, but, like, imagine just, like, a map where you're just running around, you just, you're going through the trash, you find that trash Pokemon.
Yeah.
You got this ice cream
cone. Zigzagoons.
You go to the ice cream shop, and you bite the head off of a Pokemon by accident.
You walk into a mansion, dude, and a lantern falls down.
The,
is actually
the
a
modern
Pokemon.
Mans are just dude, the modern mans just are just an object.
There's one that's actually just a trash bag.
No, it's a straight trash bag.
Floating keys.
No, my favorite. You know what they should do? You know how, I mean, Nintendo always does stupid shit with putting their own name and stuff in games. Like, oh, in Zelda, you get the Sheikah Slate, and it's basically just a Switch.
Yeah.
Or like, they should just make a Pokemon that's like an N64. And just like, N64 mount.
The Nintendo mount.
And it just like, it evolves based on what cartridges in it.
You get like a
that's
cartridge
a fucking great
item.
Idea.
Like it's instead of a like a stone, it's some sort of cartridge item.
I don't want them to be monsters
it's
at all
type
anymore.
Changes.
I want them all to be made of plastic.
It'll just start out as like a SNES, and it'll evolve into an N64.
I just love that there's a straight up garbage man.
And then it turns into a Switch Pokemon.
Yeah,
and so,
dude.
But it can evolve or devolve in the middle of the combo.
Yo, and its cry will be the Switch noise.
It's so
and,
meta.
Yeah, when it switches, it'll just snap
when it comes out. I think we just invented a brand new man, and Pokemon should.
You listening,
learn.
Game Freak? You better develop this.
Yeah, develop it now. All right, and we also got Kingdom Hearts 3 Battle Footage trailer was released today, I believe, Sunday the 11th. And it's a new trailer and a world reveal. I didn't get to see it.
There's a new trailer and a world reveal coming on July 15th.
Oh, July 15th.
But they showed
combat that we seen.
So pre Sony conference E3,
yeah,
they're giving us more Kingdom Hearts footage.
Yeah,
well,
it's like, hey, Microsoft, you got your day today? Well, here's something else.
Yeah. Remember Kingdom Hearts, though? A true exclusive? No. Throw shade. We're going to wait till the end.
No.
Yeah. So they did that. I don't know. You excited about it?
Honestly, it looked just okay to me.
It looks regular.
We saw, I think it was Hercules Planet, and we saw some of the old characters like Hades and Maleficent. There was really not much new.
Did we see the town music?
No.
What was it called again?
You didn't see it. Travis Town?
It was regular combat. It looked more polished. It looks like a newer... I mean, I don't know what I would expect it to be, but it wasn't like, holy crap, it's so new.
It's kind of expecting a flashy stuff.
Yeah, but I'm expecting more with the next trailer.
I mean, in terms of story.
Do you guys think we're going to see more of it at E3?
That's what I was actually curious about, because now that they've thrown this out in front of it, I think Square is probably going to put all the spotlight on the FF7 remake.
That might be possible.
Just kind of throw this out in front.
Are we going to get a release date? You think we're getting released?
But I don't know.
So also we got Atari Flashback 8 Gold and Sega Genesis Flashback set to launch in September. The prices have not yet been revealed, but it's going to be 120 Atari games, two controllers, 85 games on the Sega, and also two controllers. So I believe this is a direct response to the Nintendo
to the NES classic
system.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw this, I instantly thought of you, Nick, and your brothers, because, you know, having some of these classic Sega games.
No, that Genesis Aladdin game, they got to have that on there.
Yeah, I've said this multiple times, these systems are not for me.
No, they're not.
It's just,
I
think they're silly. I mean, it's funny that it's Atari and it's Sega making hardware again, which is kind of funny.
It's cool. I like the idea of it. I don't know. It's Nintendo did this, and it's obviously just like, it worked, and Nintendo's being an idiot.
Exactly.
They're not making them anymore. We got to get our money now. But for those who had those consoles, maybe this is going to be a cool thing. We'll see if they even produce enough of them or if they're going to pull the same thing that Nintendo does.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
And there's going to be like 10 out there, and then people are going to be fighting each other at Walmart.
Lead by example.
You're just going to have some lady run you over in her wheelchair, her electronic wheelchair, like, I'm trying to get my Atari! Just come run you over, just smash you get caught up in that wheel and just start flipping around. and then she'll try and turn it off and then make it go faster, so you're just spinning around in a wheel of death.
She's trying to get an Atari?
Yeah.
Is that what you're telling me?
Are people dying, though?
No.
So EA had their conference yesterday, Saturday the 10th. A lot of really, honestly... I'm not even going to say this yet. I'll save it for the Microsoft conference. But I thought it was really good. Like, EA showed some really cool stuff. They showed new IPs, too. But Battlefront 2 was a pretty big deal. They showed a lot of gameplay. Thing. They let 40 players play a multiplayer round on...
It was Naboo. Naboo,
everybody's favorite planet with the Jar Jar Banks in it.
Honestly, I mean, it gets so much hate, but I don't mind going back to prequel maps.
It looked beautiful.
I don't care that you're playing the clone army.
That was getting hate.
People were shitting on it.
Yeah, because it's like people get flashbacks of, oh my god, the gun
triggered.
No, Roger. Like they hate on it, but like
the clones.
I don't care. It looked amazing. It looked very polished.
It looked
so
fun. The
particle effects were on point.
Yes. Let me tell you about particle effects, dude. Yeah. Those lighting rays, they'll come through the volumetric rays. You get beams coming in your eyes. They're looking so good. You'll never see it's 4K.
We got great particle effects. I know it sounds the best kinda, particle effects.
It sounds kind of stupid when you're just like talking about it, but to me, trying to simulate like cinematic war moments in the thick of a multiplayer game like that is vital. And Battlefield 1 has captured that for me.
Yeah.
This one...
well, they also announced more about that. We'll talk about everybody's conference in our full E3 breakdown next weekend. But Battlefront 2 was a really big highlight. And you got to see Finn and Captain Phasma are going to be coming as DLC later on.
The
they also announced...
December.
Yep.
And they also announced that all the DLC is all going to be free. Maps and weapons are all free.
Pretty big
all.
Deal. Yeah. So maybe they're doing the loot box sort of scenario similar to what Overwatch does. That's been successful, right?
Yep.
You level up. Maybe you don't get enough XP as you want. It's just out of reach. So you buy like $10 worth of loot when you want it.
You can progress. There's a progression system with each of the characters.
I'm surprised EA is adapting that model. You know, like clearly maybe they've seen it works. It's been working for Blizzard.
Well, here's the thing that I'm curious about because Battlefield has not adopted that system yet.
No.
You know, they had this season pass. They have the new Czar DLC coming
they're not going to change it now, you know.
Yes, but this Battlefront game is a step in the right direction, and if it is successful in the way that a game like Overwatch is, where they thrive through the microtransactions and they do just fine,
definitely,
and they give all this free content from the base game, then maybe it'll have a shift throughout the other games, and maybe the Battlefield games in the future
will have free content.
I don't know. I'm being optimistic here, but this is a step in the right direction.
It is, and I think it was interesting they had, I forgot her name, Devonker or whatever. She's the, is it her last name?
I don't know.
Playing the main character in the campaign.
Yeah, the story mode.
Story mode, which I think all of us enjoyed Star Wars Battlefront 1. It's an incredible looking game, and it played really well in my opinion, but it was kind of thin and shallow, right?
Yeah.
So this one has a potential to have a lot more in it. They said it has three times the amount of content as the first game.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Gotta be careful with that, though.
Yeah, really three times the amount of content. You got like 10
three
more
times
skins.
Zero. It's still zero. So you gotta be careful with that.
True.
And then other things that EA play. I mean, there was all of their sports games.
Yeah, we'll talk about that, like we said, at next weekend when we wrap everybody's conferences up. But there were some other first-person, new IPs, that were announced that are exciting. But yeah, that's about it for the main news of the week before we get into more E3 coverage. So before we get there, though, let's talk very briefly about what's loaded up.
Yep.
Ow! What's loaded up?
Nick, you started playing Nier Automata.
Oh, shit.
Which I actually tried playing a while ago, and I mentioned it on the cast, and then I fell out of it.
We had the best reaction to this game at E3.
Yeah.
PAX. We went to PAX, and we're at Square's booth, and I think we were there Saturday or Sunday morning anyone came in, because we had exhibitor passes. So we were like, oh, we got to play everything. So we went to Square. Nick wanted to try out the Final Fantasy DLC. Then we go over to Nier, and we're like, this game's out already. It looks kind of cool. And the main character is just a thong. not even a thong. It was like a 1980s, like, you know, those
like one of those like leotard,
like Madonna thongs, where she, yeah, like a Leah thong.
Oh, yeah, leotard. It was like a full body thong.
It's like gratuitous ass. It's just an ass in your face the whole time. But they're robots, though.
It's just butt.
Let me ask you this: Is there any reason why they're wearing these things?
Nothing. Yeah, fan service.
Probably.
So you can look at a butt the entire time you're running around.
Trying to rationalize it, you think about games where there's so much skin of characters, and it's like, well, realistically, if you're fighting someone with a sword, that's really not practical.
Yeah,
it's a JRPG.
She's an android, so I'm assuming she has a little bit more natural
does
armor.
Does she care about aesthetics?
And so mobility
who's
is like
trying,
totally
who's she trying
prioritized.
To get?
I don't know.
Andrew's making the points here. She's an android.
She's an android.
She's an android.
Does she care about Does she really care about it? No, but how's, no, she's, how's the story? She's kind of like, how's the story so far?
She's very stoic throughout.
How's the story so far?
Yeah.
To be the character.
I've played like 6 hours of it so far. It's been very, very good. I can see it getting better. I can see the story starting to like take shape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've heard it's really good. I want this game.
There's a lot of side quests. So
I've been kind of
sidetracked. And you know what's nice? At least I haven't noticed. They don't put like a recommended level for the side quests. So there's a couple of times where I'm like, oh, this is a simple fetch quest. I'll get it done. And then I'll walk into an area that's got enemies that's way higher level. Than like, that's I definitely shouldn't be here yet. Yeah. You know, I kind of like that though, because fetch quests get boring, and at least like I have something to come back to as opposed to just like grinding.
Yeah, but then you just wasted like maybe a half hour getting somewhere, and then it's like, oh, this is the level cap. No, well, shit. I wish I knew that.
Are you saying that harder enemies are interspersed into areas that lower enemies are in? So it's not like you clear a level of level 5 and then you never go back to
it. Yeah,
it's open world.
It's open world to a degree. Yeah, there's like a central place you always come back to, and there's like areas coming off of that. Yep. And the enemies in the areas will level up with you.
Okay.
Some are harder than others.
Yeah.
So sometimes the side quest might be in a place where it's a little too difficult, or maybe you'll be fighting for like an hour. But it's pretty good though.
The combat and the controls look super fun.
Yeah. I'm gonna review this game, but something I'm gonna mention is that like I got it on PC and I tried it with keyboard and mouse first just to humor myself. And this is not one of those games you want to play keyboard and mouse. Definitely
not that controller.
Yeah.
Cool. Definitely controller. I think, what else? I had something else to say about it. And I can't even think what it was now. Shit.
You're on like this JRPG grind.
I know.
Reviewing Persona.
I feel like it's almost interesting as far as your reviewing goes, because you just reviewed Persona, which
can you
is
do
one
Yakuza
of your
Zero next?
Favorite games.
I want that game so bad.
Persona is one of your favorite games of the year so
of
far.
The year, yeah.
And now you're going on to another JRPG, which is highly acclaimed.
Right, but it's a little bit, it's different. It's an action RPG.
Yeah.
It's not a turn-based, you know, typical.
No, exactly.
I will say, so far the music in Nier is better than Persona's.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I've heard the music is
soundtrack
amazing.
Is kick ass.
I think that's something people loved about the first one as well.
It's I don't want to talk about this when we get to a music episode, but like both Persona and now Nier don't have ambient soundtracks like Skyrim and Horizon, everything where it's just droning orchestra and one piano note every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
There's actually a soundtrack, which I appreciate 100% more.
Yeah.
So like Nier's soundtrack is like in your face and I love it.
So you don't, it's like actiony.
Yeah.
So you don't have like Spotify open on the side. You're straight enjoying the soundtrack.
I'm enjoying the music.
Time.
Some of the soundtrack is fucking bizarre. Some of it's awesome.
How's the like genre bent? Genre.
The genre.
How's the genre bending stuff? Because I know that there's like, it becomes a shmup at one point.
Yeah,
like all this weird stuff. Like, is that really cool?
It's a little weird.
Without spoiling it,
weird sometimes when it's like, all right, I've got this control of the camera, and then all of a sudden I don't have control because the transition isn't instantaneous. So like, there's a time where like the character might go off screen while it's going from top down to like behind the back,
and
vice versa.
Don't really know where you are.
And then when the camera finally comes back in, you have no idea what's going on, and you're sitting like in an enemy's laser.
Oh.
So that's a little bit of a disappointing thing that happens.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, that's what I was gonna mention. Disappointments.
Oh shit!
Fucking 30 frames per second cutscenes. And there's a lot of them, but I'm playing the game on PC, so mine's running at 60 plus, and there's a lot of cutscenes, so it gets janky.
I'm not going to ask you too much about it because you're going to review it, but I was going to ask, how's the port? Like, is it, like, do you feel like the performance is good?
So far,
you have a 1060.
The performance has been good. It's not like it's not perfectly optimized.
Like, are you playing
ultra
settings?
Like it's Overwatch. Yeah, I am, but I think I have one or two things down on high as opposed to ultra.
Okay.
But that, you know, it was weird. Just like, okay, this is running beautifully, and then the first cutscene came in, and I was like, oh, what the fuck is this?
My eyes. Kind of jarring.
Well, I feel like that's kind of typical, though. Like, most cutscenes aren't really...
Yeah,
because they're not pre-rendered. Are they in-game, I mean?
No. They are pre-rendered. They're saved as, you know, separate movie files.
Right.
So there's no way to increase... Even if you had, like, a better performing computer, it wouldn't matter. They're capped at 30, because that's the way they were
definitely
made.
Definitely a bit jarring. So you would have preferred maybe them to do in-game cutscenes?
Yeah.
Where it's just like,
you know,
hey, keep it, whatever.
The graphics are so good that, like, I think if they had just spent the extra time to do that, it would have been fine.
Cool.
Yeah. Andrew, you've got another game that you're going to review. What's Remain of Edith Finch?
Yeah, man, you know what? I beat it in one night. You know, what Remains of Edith Finch? It was
2 hours?
Published by Annapurna Interactive. And, I'm forgetting the freaking developer's name now. Bird. It's something with a bird.
Tiny Bird?
I keep forgetting it. I'm going to look it up as I go. But
Anthony Hawk.
Yeah, it's a 2-hour game, and it's... it's like I said, it's what I'm realizing what I love about, like, my favorite types of games are, they're just like these fun sort of jump in 2 hour, couple hour indie games that
succinct.
Yeah. That type, you know, succinct. Like, I don't know. It was developed by Giant Sparrow. Sorry. Okay, I need to get that out of the way.
Bird.
Yeah. So it's around 2 hours. It's on PS4 and PC. I got it on PC. And I really, really liked it. Like, if you're a fan of Firewatch, if you're a fan of Gone Home, games like that, then this is, like, a perfect game like that. And it does similar things to Nier, like, where it does the genre-bending stuff. Like, it's a first-person game about a girl who goes back to her home that she grew up in, and all her family members are, like, cursed by it, and they die, like, crazy deaths, and you, like, recall them. And every time you do that, it does, like, an interesting, you know, device to tell the story.
And it's framed from a journal. Someone's reading a journal.
It's very good looking. It's very cool. And, yeah, I mean, I'll just save it for when I have my review, but it's really, like, a special game. It's very good. And,
Well, I saw a little bit of it, and it definitely piqued my interest. I wasn't expecting.
You saw something random as hell too. I remember you being like, "What is that?" And I was like, "That's not. You don't want to look at this."
I know.
Now.
I know.
This is. You're gonna
forget everything. I wasn't expecting the game to look so good. It looked beautiful.
Yeah. Their previous game, Giant Sparrow's previous game was.
Pull that
one. Unfinished Swan. Yeah. Which Nick played.
Yeah, we mentioned that.
You liked, it was also beautiful.
Yeah. It's got an interesting and unique art direction for that. You're, like, splatting ink. It's like Splatoon, but artsy.
Artistic.
It's like artsy Splatoon.
Avant-garde.
Yeah. But like I said to you, Nick, it has a tie to that game. A very subtle one, but I think that if you played both games, you'd appreciate it. I didn't get it until I saw somebody post about it on Reddit or something. I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool.
Is it like a deep connection?
Is there like a dad making a swan sculpture,
no,
but it's like unfinished?
Dude, the swan is like not a thing.
It's not the swan.
I know. It's metaphors.
Oh, Pete, you're coming.
I've come to really, really trust and like Annapurna because I know them as a film distribution company.
Yeah, yeah.
They've produced what they do. The Master. They did. I wrote it down in my review. I started my review already. It'll be done this week. But they did The Master and damn it, now I can't remember any other games. Sorry, I'm blanking on everything now. But it's interesting to me that a film development company or a distribution company is making games now. Like, it's a really good step. And you can tell, like, when their games are not going to be just, like, shoot 'em ups or, like, you know, some like, just fun game.
Yeah.
They're always going to have some sort of, like, deep meaning or, like, artistic
if you think about it, it's like 2 hours. It's a movie.
Right. It's a movie.
It's 2 hours is the average. You know,
like,
it's a movie.
Even, it's hard to recommend this. Like, of course, I would say play it. But if you're somebody who's like, I don't know, 2 hours, $20, I don't know if I can get into that.
Yeah.
Just watching a playthrough where nobody's talking over it and they're actually playing through it is totally fine. Like, I started rewatching a playthrough just to, like, you know, remember certain key moments that I wanted to, or, like, look at certain things that I liked. And I was like, you know what? If you just wanted to watch this as a movie, you totally could. What Remains of Edith Finch, very good. Look for my review this week.
Yeah, 5 out of 7.
Pete, you're still playing Overwatch and BDO, the same old shit, huh?
Yeah, but on PC.
The thing is, you know, same thing happened to you guys once you got use of a once Andrew got use of a PC over his PS4. It was hard for him to go back to it necessarily. I've been playing BDO, which, you know, actually mentioning E3, they talked about that for coming to consoles, but I've been meaning to do more work on my review for Rhyme and actually play the game, but for some reason I've been getting caught up this week. So I'm going to try to do that more next week.
Caught up in the personal computer.
Yeah, you understand. Yeah. You're just making 15 characters in BDO like a scumbag.
I know.
He doesn't even fight it now.
We actually have BDO news in our E3 conference.
I know.
The Microsoft
said that.
Conference
to
talk about.
But nothing new.
So you're playing. So what you're doing is you're playing on Nick's old Alienware laptop.
Yeah.
But you are buying a PC this week.
Yeah, probably.
So you're getting. You're joining. You're joining the world.
Maybe.
You're gonna ascend.
You're gonna ascend soon.
Is it ascend or transcend?
Ascend
or both.
I mean, it could be both. You're ascending,
but it's like the main thing you say.
Speaking of which, there's lots of games that can be played on PC and the Scorpio or the Xbox One X.
Dude, wow, that was a sick transition.
Dude, but
what we should do now is move to the Terpic or the Der.
It's time for topic of the day.
The Xbox One X is the Scorpio's actual name. It was revealed today. Sunday the 11th at E3 2017, Microsoft's press conference.
Yep.
We can talk about the price later, but like you said, yeah, this is something that we've noticed, and a lot of people elsewhere on the internet we've observed have noticed that these games that they have that are exclusive, quote marks, you can't see me doing it with my hands, but I'm doing it.
Yeah, air quotes.
Air quotes. They're not really exclusive.
Well, a lot of them, one of the things that they said was that there's, quote, console launch exclusives, which means that it'll come out first on the Xbox One X, but it will come out to other places later on. But it's, semi-deceiving because it's they said exclusive so many times.
Right. I mean, this is not something new from E3 or Microsoft in particular. Throughout the years, we've always seen companies go, it's exclusive, and then, you know, with an asterisk next to it. And then, like, 2 days later, you're like, oh, it's just coming out, like, 3 days earlier on that. Or, you know, whatever, a few months. So that happened a lot at their conference.
Yeah.
Overall, like, I mean, we're going to go over our impressions and whatnot, but I just think, like, it was a good conference. Like, it was fine, but it wasn't a banger of a conference. It wasn't something that Microsoft, in my opinion, needed. Like, they needed to come out and literally knock the competition out, because the Xbox has been behind. Like, they're still selling well and doing well, but this generation, Sony has killed it, and they've continued to kill it. And Microsoft even, you know, put their conference first. They decided, we're going to go Sunday earlier than usual, and we're going to make it long or whatever. And it's just kind of like a regular conference. Like, it was fine. You know, we got a lot of news about things, but I don't know.
You know, I didn't have my expectations way too high for it. First of all, when they announced that there wasn't going to be anything new for Halo.
Yeah.
That was like, well, what is there going to be?
Instant turn off.
Yeah, instant turn off.
And right.
One of the arguments for this whole thing is that, okay, like, what exclusive games are you going to have on the Xbox?
Right, because the Xbox One Scorpio, now the Xbox One X, was marketed, this is the most powerful console ever. I don't know if you guys saw these tweets or, Ralph, these images as well, but there's, like, they were giving out shirts that were, like, on the back of them said, like, I witnessed the most powerful console ever made.
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
What does that mean if you don't, like, what games you have
on? Sure, yes. You know? Multi-platform games, maybe some Xbox One games, are going to look the best on the system. That's fine. Yes, you have that. Great. What games are on the damn thing? And we've been saying that for months and months and months now, and I think that they really, really fell short here. They finally gave a release date to Crackdown 3, which is going to come out November 7th with the console. We saw Sea of Thieves. That's, you know, spring 2018. We saw Cuphead, which finally also got a release date in 2017 in September. But really, there was nothing that was like, oh, wow, here's a AAA new IP or a banger of a AAA experience that's only on Xbox. And there, Microsoft is leaning very, very heavily into this Play Anywhere stuff. Okay, you got it on Windows 10. You can also get it on your Xbox wherever you want. And it's like, for people that have a PC, you're sitting there like, I don't need this. Why do I need an Xbox One? If anything, why wouldn't I buy the $200 one? Just to have it, you know, like just to have the portable thing if you have a PC.
Yeah, exactly.
There is the argument, I guess, to be made like, oh, they're making money either way, right? I mean, you're buying it on a PC, you're feeding Microsoft's.
To some extent.
You're putting money in their pocket. But
not as much as if you'd be buying the Xbox, but.
Right. But here's the thing. If you're buying an Xbox One X and you're going, this is so powerful. First of all, yes, it is a moderately powerful system, but you can build a way, 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 way better PC these days. And for the same amount of money, really, that is. So if your angle is, I want performance, then build a PC. Like, I don't really understand the whole, like, best console thing. Because at the end of the day, you're just getting an underpowered PC.
Yeah.
I guess that they're probably taking a loss on this, right, Nick? Like, do you feel?
Well, so, well, I guess we'll talk about the price.
We didn't mention the price.
We didn't mention the price.
Yeah, I mean, they announced it's going to retail at $500, $499. So,
right,
I mean, we guessed it back when we were talking about it. Was it like 10 episodes ago? Like, they had to sell this at $600. Maybe to sell it at a justifiable loss, 700 to maybe break even, because this is like give or take 2 year old tech. I mean, we had all the specs with the 6 teraflops and the 12 gigs of RAM, yada yada yada. We knew all that already, but $500 in the console market is too expensive. In the PC market is not expensive enough. Mm-hmm. So what the hell were you marketing for?
I don't know, man.
Who are you selling to?
There's so many question marks here, too. And something that really surprised me, too, was, oh, they're not bundling it with the Xbox Pro controller.
Yeah, that was
why didn't they do that?
Which is how much is
it? It's $150. So if you want the optimal Pro experience for Xbox One, you're going to have to be paying $500 and then an extra $150 to get that extra controller. I mean, you're paying $650 for the best setup on Xbox One, which at that point... Like, do you really need to be paying that much?
$60 for live on top of
it. It is possible that they'll add this in later before the November launch. I don't know.
What, putting the controller in the
bundle? No, I mean, no, they're not going to add
that. They didn't really mention anything about the box itself when it comes bundled.
They said it's small. They said it's the smallest Xbox.
Right. Yeah.
And it's black. It looks just like a regular black Xbox One S.
It doesn't look anything different.
Nothing special.
I don't need something special.
I don't need something special either. I just feel like Microsoft needed something special. They needed they needed to come out and blow people away. They needed to shut
down
everyone.
That's the thing,
though.
They're in a hard spot. The current state of where they are in the console market, they had their backs up against the wall. And for whatever reasons, I don't know what the dealings are that they have with their exclusives, but they couldn't pull something that would have been a knockout for them.
Well, let's talk about the lineup, but like in order.
Yeah, let's talk about this.
Well, right, you didn't write here, but the first thing they came out with was PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. Why don't we talk about that a little bit? Because they announced Battlegrounds is coming out as a console exclusive. Well, it was one of the first.
One of the first was Forza. Said,
yeah. Well, yeah, right. They came out with Forza. I mean, I don't know. I've played Forza games. I really like Horizon a lot. I have that on Xbox One. I just have the game. I don't have the console anymore.
they're throwing the... and this was definitely where we noticed it right away. Is they're throwing the true 4K term
true
around.
True 4K.
A lot of buzzwords around
this
time.
Is that just a replacement for native?
For native, but like... It's got to be special. It's got to be true 4K, you know?
I mean, I guess they're trying to make a distinction over what Sony's doing with is the, you know...
Upscale?
Not just the upscale. They're not just... They're doing this... I don't remember what it's called. Like, the special layering of the pixels or whatever the hell it is. Jargon. So it's not true... So most of the games on PS4 Pro aren't true 4K. They're kind of like... They're hitting that resolution, but they're doing it with workarounds that aren't exactly like it's running at a native 4K resolution. Yeah. So I guess this is their way of like taking a swing at that and being like, no, this is real 4K, which it is. It's the true resolution.
Yeah.
And that's coming out on October 3rd.
Yeah, but I feel like this is, again, just another, when we're talking about 4K, right? We mentioned this before we started podcasting, but when you look at the changes in resolution, there's always a ramp and a gap between people buying new television sets in their house.
Yeah.
And when we saw HD come from 480p or whatever we had, like standard definition to HD, I think we saw a huge difference in what games looked like. Like, I remember going to the store and seeing an Xbox 360 running Call of Duty 2 at 1080p and being like, I need this. This looks amazing. This is next gen, right? And I think we're getting like kind of plateaued at a point now. We're like, 4K looks great. You get the, you know, super crisp imagery. The backgrounds are all really clear. Everything looks crisp. But I feel like there's been a slower adoption to 4K.
Well,
than
not
there
to
has
mention
been.
The price point. It's price a big point. Step to try to have the Xbox One X at its most optimal state.
Right. You know? We're not at the point yet where every home has a 4K TV. Yeah. So it's kind of, you're asking people not only to buy this $500 console, but to spend maybe another $700 to $900 on a lower end 4K TV.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know, man. It's really interesting and kind of difficult thing to even perceive what they're doing here. But going back to games, what else did they announce, Nick?
Well, going on with that, like, you know, they got this, the most powerful console ever, and 6 teraflops, you know, and it's like they're touting the 4K, but then they go ahead and show like Crackdown 3,
which really didn't look that great.
No, it didn't look good. It looked like last gen graphics.
This was supposed to be like a huge knock out of the park game for them, and then they showed it and it wasn't.
It wasn't. It was like, oh, Terry Crews is in it, cool. But then they were like, they didn't even mention show the fully world destruction. They were like, yeah, you can blow buildings up, but then they didn't show any of it. And then it's like the game looks old, and it's just like, what is Crackdown 3? Is this a franchise that people on the Xbox camp were like, I need Crackdown. I really liked Crackdown, but I'm never like, oh my God, Crackdown. Like, I'm not like,
Crackdown.
I'm not like, I'm not blown away by that. Like, maybe a new Halo that's, like, crazy would have blown my mind. Well, but
I mean, it had fun gameplay, but as far as the drive for being a great franchise, it doesn't have
nearly...
It didn't have much substance.
It doesn't have the
me.
Weight of, like, an exclusive on another console. No. It's not like Mario. It's not like the new Mario.
Or Horizon.
No. I mean, Horizon's a new IP, but
like
even
established
that...
Established franchise.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's not even like, oh, the new Metal Gear. Like, it has no clout like that at all. Like,
yeah.
That's the thing about these Microsoft exclusives, or, like, you know... I guess Microsoft exclusives with the, you know, they are all on PC.
Windows,
we need to mention that every game, every single game we're about to mention to you was mentioned as an exclusive, but they're not exclusive. They're on Windows if you have a PC, or they're a timed exclusive and they're coming out to other consoles at some other point.
Feeding into that buzzword. Yeah, we did see that every time. Every time a new trailer popped up, it was...
Exclusive
world premiere.
And then also tiny asterisks like launch exclusive.
Yeah, and then like in the bottom left corner it'd be like, oh, also releasing on Windows 10. It's like, that's not what the definition of exclusive is.
I feel like, are we really cynical? Are we really like just fanboying here? I'm not a fanboy. I just want like
fanboy of
personally
what,
I'm just objectively looking at this conference and going like, okay, like is what they're doing good for consumers. And does it make any sense?
This conference was supposed to make you want to buy an Xbox One X.
And I don't.
And it actually makes more sense after watching this conference to buy a PC.
Right.
It went the complete opposite way.
Because even at that... PC, you get the future upgrade ability. That's a reason alone. Say you build a PC today that has the same exact specs as a Scorpio or an X, right? You have the potential down the road to just be like, oh, new graphics card, boom, it's ready in my motherboard. With the Xbox One X, you don't get modular. That's something that we even speculated might happen the Xbox
Being
One
able
X.
To upgrade
and it didn't happen. There were all these things that were just kind of like underwhelming. It was just like, oh, it looks like this. That's cool. Oh, it does this. All right, we already knew that. Where's your games? We don't really know. I don't know. It just felt so regular. It felt like such a regular conference.
Yeah, I mean, they did like the standard... pay extra money for third-party developers to get their stuff on, like Assassin's Creed Origins,
right.
Which...
Well, and they also had... I forgot to put it here, but Minecraft had a whole talk about how they're upgrading the HD graphics.
Interestingly, had a footage of a Switch in the world.
It's to all consoles and platforms.
Right, so, you know, it obviously is for everything, so they're not just saying, oh, only on Xbox. I mean, it is a Windows 10 thing now. Like, when I built my PC, it was already on there or whatever. I would say arguing for me, the biggest thing that they announced probably was the Xbox, the original Xbox backwards compatibility.
Oh, yeah.
It was almost like really weirdly shoehorned in there, though. Like it was in the middle of the conference and they were like, by the way, we listened to your feedback and lots of people play Xbox 360 backwards compatible games. Coming later, we don't know when, you're going to be able to play Xbox games, the original ones. We'll talk about the service later.
Yeah, they showed off Crimson Skies,
right? And they're like, these are going to get benefits.
For 5 seconds.
So here's my question, though. These games are going to get benefits with the Xbox One, right?
Like upscaling?
So what does that mean?
Well, I mean, maybe...
Car's going off.
Is that
off.
My car?
I don't think so.
I hope that's not my car. Anyway, it benefits. I mean, you can't really do much except for maybe some tiny. You can't retexture.
No, you can't.
So that's out of the question.
So that makes me come to the question of, is this going to be pop in a disc backwards compatibility?
Yeah.
They conveniently left that out.
They
probably have a digital.
Or is it going to be a digital library? Yeah. Because he even said it's going to be a service. So what does that mean? Yeah. Like, a service to me indicates this could just be, like, I don't know, maybe how do you prove you have the game and then you digitally download it? Or you put the game in and then it downloads to your hard drive and then you upgrade a texture pack? Well, like, I don't know.
This whole thing was kind of a perceived leg up over Sony.
Sony,
right. Because recent news, one of the dudes at Sony was saying how, this is never going to happen for us. It's not a priority. It's how people always ask for it, but they rarely use it. And so now here's like, we listen to you. We listen to you, Microsoft.
Well, he did say more than half of Xbox One users
have used backwards compatibility.
I've done it. I when I had my Xbox One, I used it a couple times.
And they kept saying, we know you want more, so we're giving you more. And then they talked about the Xbox.
Let's, I mean...
But this isn't... Is it really something to be so stoked about?
We have been... hard on Microsoft now. I mean, that is a very not a good, a fantastic thing, but it's a step in the right. It's like a benefit.
Would prefer it if is Sony a benefit. Did have I mean, look at it this way: I bought one of the original like big ass George Foreman PS3s because it plays all three generation games.
Yeah.
Like I just got Katamari Damacy, which could have been easily on my What's Loaded Up because I've been playing it again.
Yeah.
I got the original PS2 Katamari Damacy, which I love. And I've been playing it on my PS3 because the thing is fully backwards compatible. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like, I would use this feature. I have Halo 1, 2, and... one and 2, I guess, from the original. I have a couple other original Xbox games, too. So I would use it, yeah, but it's not something to be, like... I mean, that's going to be available on the Xbox One S, too. So when you come out, when you're talking about the Scorpio or the X, I guess it's not really a big deal.
Yeah, just for the conference in general. And another thing they did right, and Andy alluded to at the beginning, is the... I mean, it's a console launch exclusive is PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
Yeah.
That was something they needed to do.
Right. And I kind of, I don't remember if I said it out loud to you guys, but I thought in my head like, you know what? What if they do get a deal with them and they get it exclusively on that? Because they've mentioned it. The guys they've mentioned it coming to consoles, but the game is still like fairly janky on PC.
Yeah. But again, this is one of the most popular games now. It blew up.
It was the right choice.
To exclusively partner with Microsoft to come in and be like, we're timed, you're going to get our game first, is a big deal because the game is immensely successful. So I think that that'll definitely drive people to get an Xbox if they don't already have one because now they're going to, I don't really play PC games, but that game is so much hype right now. It's all over Twitch. Let me get an Xbox One S to just play that.
Yeah, but that being said, I mean, we said it during the conference, that game is, one, nowhere near being done. It's not finished, not at all.
And like I said, like I said to you guys, and you've seen it, Nick, like, I mean, I have a GTX 1080 in my machine. It's a very powerful card. And on max settings, sometimes at 1440p, it will dip below 60 frames.
Yeah.
So this thing, are they going to get it at 30? Are they going to leave it at 30? Or are they going to lock it at 60?
It's going to chunk. And I see the thing is, do you need... I know they always say, like, oh, if you have an Xbox One S, you can also put the same games on the Xbox One X.
Right.
But, like, Battlegrounds is one of those games where on the original Xbox One, you're going to get chunked frame rates. You're going to get worse textures. You're going to get glitches out the ass. So it's going to be... I think, personally, it's going to be borderline unplayable.
Yeah. Which, I mean, they gave the loose date of, really late in 2017. There's no way.
We think 2018.
Delayed. 2018, there's no way.
Like launching of the X?
They said that to be like hype, you know? Yeah, like, hype. Oh, Battlegrounds. Exactly. And it's like, yeah, probably great. Won't. I mean, for me, I was kind of like, oh, that's kind of a big deal, but hey, I mean, no way it's this year.
Maybe this will push the devs to optimize the game more.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, they're an indie team, so like they need to hire more staff.
Right? Yeah.
And if this
this conference would gives them a whole lot of clout.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, if they made money from Microsoft, then hopefully yes.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe they're not selling. They're not selling more copies right now until it comes out.
Yeah,
and then in the same vein, Black Desert Online.
Right. Yeah, it's a good. Yeah. I was going to mention that as well. So BDO, which Pete and me, Nick, and our friend Mary Leia have been playing, is obviously. I guess not obviously, it's an MMO. RPG. It's honestly, it has the best graphics of any game I've ever seen. And I've said this multiple times. You zoom into your character, you see sweat on them. It's amazing lighting and dynamic effects. So, you know, you can make the argument that it's not much more than a great looking game sometimes. It's really good combat. But, you know, as far as an MMO, it's definitely got its faults. But that's another game that doesn't run the best on PC even, you know, and even when you put it on low settings, you go into a town, you're getting, you know, really large frame rate dips and stuff.
I've had large issues with that where it was unplayable.
Right. It can be unplayable on certain machines. So again, is this going to be a game that on the X might play decently and then on the regular Xbox One S is trash?
It's just trash? Yeah, see, that's what I was wondering because, you know, on the subreddit, the background subreddit, the Black Desert subreddit, everyone's joking around like, yeah, maybe you might get 5 frames at 1080p.
Right.
Like, is this going to be even possible to play?
Turns BDO on.
I mean, in the trailer, you could definitely see it was low texture models. Because I've played the game on everything on high, and it's amazing looking. But you could see that it was just kind of like, you know, it was downgraded a bit. Yeah. Obviously, because of the hardware. But I think that's a cool announcement. Do you remember if it's only coming to Xbox One X?
No, this is one of those...
it's one of those timed exclusive timed games ones, again. Yeah. So again, it's cool, but it's going to be on PS4 eventually too. Yeah.
So among the other things that we saw, though, they had a new Metro game with a 2018 release, Exodus.
Yeah.
And we had a cinematic trailer, I guess
it was one of those trailers that they were like, here's a trailer with in-game footage. And then for like 10 seconds, it might have been played. And then it just went into a cutscene after that.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way. You look at the way that people move. You look at the graphics.
Highly
Highly choreographed. It's one of those trailers that they make it look like it's gameplay. Like, oh, it kind of looks like he's aiming with a controller. But then the second he gets like into a cinematic moment, it's like he's looking around as if it's a real person. So it's, I mean, again, kind of deceiving.
Despite that, the design of it, it looked like
Fallout 4.
A better version of Fallout 4.
Right. It looks like a better Fallout 4.
The lushness and the just the... having the design of everything.
And those games are like partially open world now, I believe. I never got to play them, but the two pack of the Metro games were on sale for a while. Yeah, and 2033 or whatever. So this might be a cool game to pick up if you're looking for that. But again, another, you know,
and actually in that
third
same,
party game.
In that same vein, games that are better versions of other games, we're gonna move on to Anthem.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because that was actually announced before the Xbox conference.
This might have been the best looking game at the show.
BioWare's new IP.
Yeah. It looks like they literally, whatever was going on with Andromeda, any resources BioWare had throughout their studios was going towards this.
Well, okay. Fucking amazing. This was Edmonton, their Edmonton studio, and they're the ones who made Knights of the Old Republic.
Which is awesome.
I place my most trust and faith for a game like this in their hands. Yeah. This just looked like, it looked like a hybrid of several games that we've seen.
Right.
It looked a lot like, it looked like Titanfall, it looked like
Destiny.
Destiny, it looked like Mass Effect.
Yes.
But the best things of all of those, actually, I think, and graphically and very, very lush, as we said before, I'm excited for this game. They said that it's going to be coming, hold on here.
Late
2018 was the likely release date for it.
It seemed far along enough, I guess, because it looked like in-game footage, like genuinely in-game footage.
There were definitely moments of in-game footage, but with the shooting at least. A lot of the flying looked a little choreographed, but the shooting.
Right. Yeah. And I like, I mean, Destiny is a game, again, where it's like, the idea of it, I love. And I want that type of team play. I want that sort of like hop in with your friends and like, this is epic and you do missions together and quests. Mm-hmm. And it looks like that, but like even cooler. Like it looks super rad. But even with that said, though, it doesn't look original at all.
No.
You know, you're in a mech suit flying through a sci-fi world with dinosaurs on an alien planet going into a portal.
I mean, at the
it's
same
the
time,
same shit as everything else.
You can take generic sci-fi, but just mix in some great like elements of other things into it and then and optimize it in a way that's great. Like Horizon isn't that original to me.
No,
but
it's not.
I really enjoyed it because they optimized all of the elements that make it a great game.
That's fair. I guess so, if you do it well, then that's fine.
So if you're going to make an even better Mass Effect game and throw in some Destiny, I'm all for that.
Yeah. Do you think that they'll lean more into the story than they will the team play? Or do you think it'll be probably a little bit more on the Destiny side?
Yeah, you know what? I'm interested to see what they're going to do because they had who appeared to be the main character. Who was this female character. There's these sort of bounty hunter type people named freelancers, right? And it was on some alien type world and they're fighting giant creatures.
The story was very reminiscent of Destiny 1 where they're like journeying from the last city.
Yeah, it gave that impression like a bunch of like a refugee city.
I
wonder if it's going to go down the path that other BioWare games have taken where you're going to be able to interact and make decisions and choices and just the general formula, especially with the devs who made KOTOR. So
again, they made it explicitly clear this game is coming out on everything, but it'll look great on Xbox One X and best on Xbox One S and best on Xbox One X.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, I'm so ready to see the comparison videos.
Well, yeah, and
I want to see a PS4 Anthem, PS4 Pro Anthem versus an Xbox One X Anthem. Like, is it going to be night and day? Is it going to be like, holy shit, look at the lighting effects on this and the other ones looks like trash?
No.
Or is it going to be just like, oh, there's like one more bush over there? Like, because you're talking
low
about
energy.
Like the money, like a $500 versus probably a price cut on the PS4
Pro
now.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that. But it's like,
I just wanted to say here because it was a little interesting factoid was that the price point for the X is the same as Xbox One at launch.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now, it's $100 more than the PS4 Pro right now.
Which was one of the biggest problems about the Xbox One at launch, because the PS4 launched cheaper and was better hardware. So that was one of the first things that kind of, you know, they dug their own grave, Microsoft, in this generation.
Do you think Sony will lower the Pro price point?
Honestly, well, they have potential.
I've been saying even more.
You want to get to how Sony's going to respond?
No, not yet.
We got more games to cover.
We've got more games to cover. We had a couple more third-party games premiere on there. Assassin's Creed Origins, which we've seen literally everything but gameplay because the leaks out of Ubisoft are atrocious.
No. Spoiler, it is in Egypt and Bayek is the main character.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. JK, I knew it a billion times.
The most surprising thing to me was that it seemed like they're adding more mythological elements.
Giant snakes.
Yeah, there was a giant snake.
There was a hippo, looked angry. There was a crocodile underwater.
Saw an Anubis head.
It looked pretty, but then again, it was just like, Ubisoft, you're going to be a hawk now, and you're going to spot enemies. Then you're going to kill someone, and then you're going to go to an objective, and you're going to unlock the map.
And you got
to
probably climb a tall building.
You're sliding down a pyramid. It's like, all right, yeah, maybe when I slide down a pyramid like twice, that'll be dope, but I'm good after that.
It has a measure of badassery that I think people enjoy.
It does. It looks great. It looks like a AAA game.
Yeah.
Right? It looks amazing.
It's apparent that
it
is.
It'll look best on the Scorpio, you know, most likely. Or the X.
Better on the Xbox S.
Yeah,
but best on the
best on the Xbox X.
Better teraflops, better ingredients, Xbox One X.
Origins is coming on October 27th. We also saw, and this was the highlight of this whole thing for me, I think, Sea of Thieves.
Yeah.
Which is this pirate game that has been anticipated for a while. It's coming out in spring 2018.
Particularly one part of it was the best part, and that was the water. I just want to drink up that ocean. There's something going on in there, the lighting. It looked like there was like light under the water. It looked crystal clear, but also dark. It just looks so good.
Fucking beautiful.
It was fucking beautiful. So you got this team play. They've been developing this game for a while. It's rare. It's funny. The trailer was actually good, and it was gameplay. Yeah. It was a team of people playing a pirate mission looking for treasure, and they killed some skeletons with blunderbusses, and then they launched each other in ships and got in a pirate battle.
Yeah.
It looked really cool. And then I said this, I was tweeting live with you guys, but I loved Black Flag, Assassin's Creed Black Flag. Mm-hmm. Like, that was my favorite Assassin's
and
Creed game.
And the sea battles.
Because, yeah, and the sea battles, there's awesome. So much, there was, it just felt like a different game. Like, it was definitely the most unique one at the time, and I loved being on a ship. I love being on a pirate ship.
There's something about having a crew.
Yeah.
Now if your crew is your friends, that's awesome.
And it looked really cool, like, and quirky and kind of gamey in a good way, where it was like, go underwater and get a cannonball for your ship so you can like keep that later on and put the treasure in the middle of the thing so then you gain upgrades in your, you know, in your ship or whatever. It looks like a really fun team game, and I can't wait to get it on PC and not Xbox One X.
I know.
I said the same thing.
Because it's like, again, this exclusive syrup, and then it's just like, all right, I just already got Windows 10. I'm good. I'm chilling.
I'm
you know?
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It looks great. And if you haven't seen trailers for it, go check out that one that they premiered because it looks super fun.
Yep.
And that water is very drinkable.
We saw Cuphead, which, Andrew, you really are excited for this game, right?
I'm psyched for it. They showed it. I think it debuted last year's E3.
Yeah.
The Adventures of Cuphead. It looks like an original sort of cartoon aesthetic, like shitty kind of like almost.
It's
like,
supposed to look like retro, like 19 like.
It looks
20s
like Popeye.
Even.
It looks like Popeye or something like really, or like Mr. Game and Watch kind of like.
It looks like early, like the first Mickey Mouse that you ever see. That's,
but
that's
a game, and it's supposed to be extremely challenging, which I'm all for. I love Souls games and things that bust my ass, and it just, I love the aesthetic of it, and I think if anything, I value that more than like, okay, if you put that next to
4K,
Anthem and your teraflops, and then you just see like this
best on the Xbox.
It looks, but best on the X.
Yes.
We're just going to be dicks this whole episode.
No.
If you put those next to each other, I'm just like, all right, I like the style way better of this other game. You didn't write the name of this other one. What the hell was it called?
Which one are you talking about? Describe it to me.
Talking about Ashen?
No. The one that was like, it looked like Blade Runner.
Oh, I don't remember the name of it.
But that's another game that, damn, why didn't you write that? I should have checked the script.
Yeah.
But it looked like it looked like another very stylized, interesting indie game, which is a lot of people I've seen online are criticizing again about their show.
Something light, right?
They came...
Name of it?
Oh, damn, I forget.
No, that's fine.
Don't worry about it. There's another really cool game that looks like
Blade Runner. Hold on. So Cuphead is coming out in September 2017. We also saw more gameplay footage for Shadow of War.
Well, yeah, but I was...
Didn't, like...
Well, before we get there, I was saying there were... Something people are criticizing and I agree with is that they came and they showed so many indie games.
Yeah.
And like, that's cool, but Xbox needed big AAA games. They needed to come out and be like, here's the biggest ass new IP or new sequel to one of our big franchises.
Yeah.
And they kind of didn't do that, you know?
Well, the biggest things were ones that are on other platforms anyway.
Yeah.
They just opted to be at Microsoft's presentation, you know? Mm-hmm. You got Shadow of War, you have Assassin's Creed, and you have Minecraft. Those were the biggest ones. But so anyway, we had Shadow of War. I wasn't really impressed by the graphics of it. I mean, that's not the only thing.
It looks very rough. Same as Crackdown 3. It looked like it looks not ready. And they said, like, alpha footage. It looked last gen. Like, the jaggedy-ass edges and stuff.
Shadow of War looked particularly, to me, cartoony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I couldn't take it seriously. Like, Lord of the Rings, I get it, is high fantasy, but at the same time, there's some air of just, like, being serious about it.
Yeah.
And that just didn't seem serious at all. Between the graphics, between, like, the voice acting, between what was going on in the trailer.
Did you play any of Shadow of Mordor?
I've only seen trailers. Okay. But for me, the Shadow of Mordor looked like Assassin's Creed back in the day.
It has similar dynamics,
Looked pretty serious, pretty intense combat, but then it looked totally 180 degrees from what I saw in this trailer.
Yeah, I mean, they have kind of goofy dialogue from the orcs. But I don't know. I mean, this game, I don't know. I'm excited in a way. It was pushed back.
Well, you're a huge fan of Lord of the Rings.
So. I am. I've read the novels and stuff. But the thing is, this game was pushed back. I'm hoping that is to address certain graphical issues and to just polish the game more.
Well, I hope so. Because the way it looked right now, it did look last gen.
Yeah.
So... another thing we saw that kind of looked a little last gen was State of Decay.
Yeah.
Well, that's an indie game. I mean, it was originally. They did say that hopefully they're putting more money into it, but it was like the last. I had it on Xbox 360 and I did enjoy it, but this isn't something that was like Xbox One X.
Yeah.
It was like, all right, it looks all right. There's a man that gets ripped in half and by a big fat zombie boy.
Maybe not more so in the graphics, but more so in the fluidity of the animations.
Mm hmm.
Because it definitely looks
janky.
There's janky moments, and like any game doesn't necessarily mean it's not going to be janky. Because, I mean, Pete, I know you haven't talked about it much, but you're going to get to playing Rhyme, and like the movements in that are pretty damn fluid. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's from an indie studio.
Yeah.
So like watching this trailer was like nothing to be blown out of the water with. You know?
Yeah, I agree with that. That's coming spring 2018. I mean, Andrew, you played State of Decay 1.
Yeah, I was just
Did you like
about
that game?
I mean, yeah, I liked it. It looks exactly the same thing. You get a base, you get people that you're going to be building it with, and I don't know. It's a pretty simple, straightforward zombie game. I guess we'll have to see what Sony brings at their conference.
Well, yeah, sure. So, I mean, what are we anticipating for Sony to have? God of War, Spider-Man, possibly Bloodborne 2. You mentioned this, and I definitely agree. I think that there's going to be a Horizon Zero Dawn DLC announcement. I think it's enough time has passed. And these are all good responses. These are all exclusives to PS4, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Sony didn't really even have to try. That's the thing. It's like I don't know if it was a matter of a schedule. I don't know if it's a matter of the money. I don't know if it's a matter of trust in your publisher, but these things all fell into a row for Sony for now them to knock it out of the park again at another E3.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the past two E3s, Sony's killed it. And they are continuing to kill it. You know, where the hell is Halo? We got confirmation. I forget. It wasn't Phil Spencer who said it. But last week, they said there'll be something for Halo fans to look forward to at E3. And we knew going into it that there wasn't going to be Halo 6. They already said that.
Yeah.
But there was nothing.
Well, there was speculation that it would be like an anniversary re-release of something.
But there wasn't even anything like that.
No.
The only thing they mentioned, even slightly regarding Halo, was at the very end of the conference, they were like, if you own these titles and you have an Xbox One X, you get a free update that gets it in 4K.
Yeah, they emphasized it being free.
Free!
Yeah, I mean, every PS4 upgrade has been
free. Every game update is free. What the fuck?
Why would you pay for a 4K update? You know, like, it should be free.
If it wasn't free, that is the worst money grab ever.
Man, it's so tough because Microsoft really needed to come out and be like, boom, new IP, boom, exclusive, but they've really doubled down on this Windows Play Anywhere thing, and I feel like that's kind of screwed them up, you know? I guess at the end of the day, you can really, like I said, be like, okay, well, they're making money on you no matter what. You're buying a Windows 10 computer, you're buying the game on the Windows Store, but if they're pushing this console really hard, like, it's really, really hard to say that you want the system when it's not exclusive. Even if, like, okay, you can make the argument, oh, I don't have a PC, I don't want to build a PC. But even for those who have PS4s, for those who have Switches, right, it feels different when the game can be had in multiple places than if it's like, this is only there. Like, even if you don't plan on getting either of them, the sting and the blow is lessened when you know, oh, well, I could just build a PC down the line, or I'll just get the cheaper version of the console.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of, it leaves it in this weird area where you don't know. I don't feel like a lot of people are feeling that they need to buy an Xbox One X this fall, especially at the price point that they announced it for. I think if anything, they're going to be buying more Xbox One S's.
To play some of these new games
and
if they have.
So since we're talking about Sony responding,
yeah,
you guys said they've got amazing exclusives, and Sony hasn't done this with anything. They haven't been like, oh, it's, you know, it's exclusive, but it's also on computers or Mac or something.
Yeah.
You cannot get Bloodborne on another system. You cannot get Horizon Zero Dawn on another system. You can't get these amazing games anywhere else but Sony. And that's pushing people to go there. It's a shitty thing. Like, you can argue exclusives are bad. We've talked about that before. But at the end of the day, they have more incentive to go there for it. And now Sony is in the great position to be like, oh, you just made your conference 2 days ago. And we've seen this happen at E3 before, where somebody goes and they respond the next day.
Directly.
They change their script and they go, oh, you said this? Great. Now our PS4 Pro is $300 or $350.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
And now you're coming in on a console that's just slightly less powerful than your Xbox One X.
It's
$150 less.
Yeah.
Right?
With more substance, more games to play.
More games. It's about the games. And I think Microsoft really missed that point here. Like, they really missed the opportunity to say, you can only get this here, and it's going to be incredible on the system because of these things. Like, they really tried to push the performance thing, and I wasn't convinced by it, you know?
As a consumer, like, I would, if it's crappy, you know, you have to spend money to buy a new thing just because it's only coming out for one console. But I would buy an X if there were amazing exclusives from Microsoft, because that's the only place to play them. And I maintain my PS4, and I'm going to get a PC eventually, but you guys still maintain your PS4, and it sits fine with you.
Well, I also have a VR. This is another thing we didn't even
mention. Exclusives for that console that you cannot play.
Yeah, we were talking about price cuts. Yeah. Like, what if Sony comes out and says, yo, price cut on the VR?
They're gonna.
Xbox didn't even come out with anything related to VR.
They didn't mention anything with VR, which you can argue maybe is a smart thing, because maybe Sony got in a little early and the tech's not there yet, but I think PSVR fucking kicks ass, and it's a great price.
I mean, it's impossible to get your hands on it, even still.
Right, it's in demand. They've just recently announced, we didn't put it in the news, but it is news, they announced they sold over 1 million copies of the PSVR, a million units of it, which no other company has done, so that means they're likely above Oculus and the Vive haven't announced that. So they are the first VR headset to sell over 1 million units. This thing is doing incredibly well. It's still hard to find, even though they're pumping more out.
Yeah.
So Sony can just swing back so hard on Tuesday.
I know.
Like, crush Microsoft. They can just be like, okay, here's our exclusives, the new Spider-Man game coming out this fall. You got God of War, looks incredible. Oh, Last of Us 2 trailer, you can only get this on PS4. They have so many
by
exclusives.
The way, here's some great VR stuff that we can put
right
too.
here's the plan for VR in the future that Microsoft just straight up doesn't have. They just don't have it.
at this point, they're paving the way because they've got the largest stake in things.
And
they've hit that million.
The performance thing is not big enough. Like, if they came out with a supercomputer, then it would be one thing. But the thing is marginally better.
It's 2-year-old tech at this point.
It's marginally better than the PS4 Pro, you know? And I'm not saying PS4 Pro is perfect or anyone should get one, but if they can just be like, yeah, this thing's $300 now, $200 less than your thing, and you've got better games on it. So, yeah, like we've been saying, like, over and over again, it's just kind of like, man, I feel for Microsoft.
Yeah, you get the high performance console, and you mentioned Oculus. Try to form a partnership,
right?
They
had their chance.
They've got this beefy console now. Do something with it.
They could have come out and been like, "We're going to be the best home console for VR," which would have been true. They would have had the most powerful system to house a VR, and they could have done it interestingly. They could have partnered with Oculus, made their own headset or something like that. They completely missed that opportunity to do that. I don't know. Do we have anything else we want to say before we wrap up?
No, conference. As far as like how
we
I'm
just
feeling,
shit on it for 40 minutes straight.
I mean,
but it was all right. Like I want to reiterate that I think that they did a decent job. They didn't stutter. They didn't really fuck up in any like profound way. They didn't come out like the Xbox One launch where it's going to be like it has to always be on and your camera's monitoring you while you sleep and you have to pay for online every day or whatever the hell they said.
Yeah,
it wasn't horrible. It was the best they've had in a long time, arguably. But it wasn't what they needed, I think.
Exactly.
To really succeed here.
As far as rating it, I would say it's passable, but it was not enough.
Yeah, 6 out of 10.
Yeah. I'm really excited to see how Sony responds and what Nintendo has to say in their 25-minute launch.
They also don't have to give anything crazy. Like, if they didn't do the VR, they didn't do any like cues like, hey, well, here's another new IP or whatever that we're going to have.
Right.
Even just showing footage of God of War, showing footage of Spider-Man, that's a leg up that I think Sony has it easy going into this.
Yeah. That's what I mean. It's not like they planned it that way. It's just literally the developers want to make games for their system and it's falling into their lap.
Yeah. I don't know. It's wild. I mean, there are a couple things obviously that are cooler about the Xbox One X. You've got the 4K Blu-ray player in it, which mind-bogglingly is not present in the PS4 Pro, which I don't understand because they're behind the Blu-ray stuff.
I know.
So I never understood
a hardware company.
Big
and you don't have that there.
Also, the thing, the PS4 Pro kind of looks dumb. Like it just looks like a cheeseburger console.
Yeah,
the Xbox One X talk about how it looks, but it looks like a smaller version of the
denser,
S.
Black.
Just a box. It's literally just a box. It's an Xbox. Legitimately,
it's an Xbox X.
Oh shit!
It sounds like a gamer tag.
It does, like
an early 2000s.
I did remember
gamer tag.
The name of that game though. That I thought was really really cool. It's called The Last Night.
Last Night, not Light.
It looks so cool. It just looked like basically a steampunky sort of like pixel art esh.
Well, the thing is, the characters are pixel, but the rest is much more cleaner graphics, right?
Right. It's really interesting art direction.
And if you like Blade Runner, this is obviously. Obviously inspirable.
But again, these are games that we're looking forward to that aren't exclusive on the Xbox One X or Xbox One S.
Yeah.
They're the Xbox One ecosystem, I guess you can call it.
The family. That's what they say.
I am personally most interested and excited to see comparison videos between the consoles, between the One S and the One X versions of these games. Is it really going to be such a mind-boggling difference that I'm going to be like, whoa, the X is so much better? I think Digital Foundry, they do great comparison videos like that. Like, I can't wait to see that come out. So I'm personally excited for that, and I'm excited to see how the other systems respond later this week. I think that about wraps up our coverage of
Microsoft's
press conference.
If you guys have anything, any comments about what happened and just about E3 going into this week, let us know.
Yeah. I don't think we particularly have any story time today, but we're gonna continue to cover E3 this week. Something new we've never done. We're gonna do maybe like 25 to 40 minute long episodes, short form of responding to each conference, not everyone's conference, but specifically the consoles. So we're gonna cover PlayStation on Wednesday because they're airing at 12 a.m. For us here on the East Coast, so it's going to be hard to do that, especially since we work all week. And then Thursday we're going to do Nintendo's, which should be brief as well.
Yeah, and then we'll do a full wrap up on
full
Saturday.
Wrap up next week. Keep a lookout on our website and social media throughout the week to see what we're thinking about everything we see at E3. We're going to probably make a couple videos and comment about things we've seen as well. You can follow us on social media if you want on Facebook. We're facebook.com/praisegamecast. Twitter at praisegamecast. Instagram, same thing, at praisegamecast. We 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago at this point, we made praisethegame.com our website. Yeah. Which is literally our hub. We have everything there. We host our episodes. We do articles. Yeah, I just finally got my Farpoint review up.
Yep.
You can see that there now. I'm going to be finishing my review of what remains of Edith Finch this week. So look out for that. A lot going on. It's hot down here. I'm sweating. My ears are wet. I have headphones on. I'm just sorry. It's so hot today.
It was 91 degrees.
We need a fan or something, man. But yeah, if you guys follow us or you're one of our friends of the show or whoever, shoot us a text, shoot us an email, shoot us whatever on social media.
Yeah, but just don't shoot us.
Don't shoot us physically with a gun. Yeah. I don't want to die yet. I'm not ready for it. But
I want to live.
I want to live.
And if you have any interesting or, you know, curious reactions to E3 or you want to know more about it, hit us up because we're going to be covering it all week. Yeah, we want to know what you think, too. Are you going to be getting an Xbox One X when it launches? Are you building a PC? Are you going
to be... What's your strongest argument for buying it?
What's your strongest argument for buying it? That's Pete's question.
Yeah.
So hit us up. But yeah, we'll see you later this week for our special E3 2017 coverage.
See you soon, guys.
I'm delirious from heat exhaustion, so praise the game for me.
Praise the game.
Yeah, praise it.